Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Anissa Abd El Fattah, the founder and chairwoman, of the National Association of Muslim American Women. And before the break, we were talking, Anissa, a little bit not only about General Wesley Clark and his rather lapdog response — those are my words, not yours — his rather lapdog response before the ADL and to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency about what he meant in connecting New York money people to the American situation with Iran that might end up in war. But you've now brought into this something I haven't seen, and that was the response of Abe Foxman of the ADL to what Clark said.
Right. After all of the uproar had taken place over what Clark said, and Clark hadn't issued a public statement yet, at least not the one that you just read, Abe Foxman, and this is according to Fox News, issued a report saying that, you know, Wesley Clark is not an anti-Semite, that he didn't mean anything, he wasn't trying to perpetuate any conspiracy theories, and his father is Jewish. To me, this part, his father is Jewish, should be very troubling. In other words, what Foxman is saying is that hands off Jews. In other words, free speech belongs to them. But if he had not, you know, had this, could claim, you know, this parentage from someone that's Jewish, then, you know, the chances were greater, of course, that he was, you know, a conspiracy theorist and an anti-Semite. To me, that's very troubling, because all of this leads to the establishment of one set of laws for non-Jews in our country and standard of behavior and speech, and another standard of protected behavior and speech for people who are Jews or who can claim Jewish heritage. That's problematic, particularly in a country like the United States that was founded on a Declaration of Independence that said that all people were created equal and endowed equally by their Creator with rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, when you have a group of people, a minority of people in your country who's denying everyone else rights, then that hardly can, you know, then we can hardly realize that promise or the fulfillment of that idea or that dream. So the things that are being challenged by this behavior are much more than who's going to be president, much more than who's going to war, whose children are going to fight these wars. What's at stake here is the very core principles that our country was established upon, and the equal rights of all Americans. For some people, they may feel, well, it's okay, you know, if we privilege the Jews to some extent because they went through the Holocaust. But then for other Americans who didn't have anything to do with the Holocaust, we don't see the logic in it.
Well, that's exactly right. I can imagine if, for example, somebody's name that happened to be Anissa Abd El Fattah had made these statements, or somebody whose surname is Dankoff, which is obviously a name of German origins, if we had made these statements, I can well imagine what the response would be on the part of people like Abe Foxman. And this then gets into another interesting question in all of this. And that is not simply the fact that Wesley Clark seemed to have a very speedy response to make sure that ultimately his so-called political orthodoxy in regard to the American political scene was not ultimately questioned, but I see the same kind of thing going on, frankly, in the so-called Christian community, where these guys like Foxman routinely attack Orthodox Christianity in a lot of their writings. When we get back, I want to take up this theme with you and to discuss a curious fault line that I think is being exploited by the Israeli lobby. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Anisa Abd El-Fattah, the founder of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Anisa, I was getting ready to say before the break that in looking at the whole situation with people like Abe Foxman of the ADL, it's fascinating to me that they have been so effective in infiltrating the secular American political right at the same time that they've had so much influence in infiltrating the so-called Christian right in the United States due, of course, to the influence of something called dispensational premillennialism that we've talked about before on this show in regard to a particular understanding of Bible prophecy that relates to the support that people of this persuasion have for the Zionist state of Israel. But aside from that, it's interesting to me that there are certain fault lines in American politics that it seems that Israel has exploited quite well for its own purposes. And you have these incredible paradoxical coalitions that I can't think of as having much applicability to any other political situation, cultural situation that I can think of in this country. For example, you have the Christian right and some of its leading minions talking about the evils of abortion and the evils of pornography, just to name two, the evils of the homosexual rights movement and so forth and so on. Now, whatever one thinks of these positions one way or the other, the fact is just in terms of analyzing this for purposes of understanding how political coalitions are built, it seems incredible to me that one can, I think, demonstrate that there is a disproportionate Jewish influence, a disproportionate amount of Jewish money that has historically gone into the abortion industry in the United States, that has gone into the pornography industry in the United States, and that has gone into the promotion of the political agenda of groups like the Human Rights Campaign Fund, which is a so-called pro-gay political action committee.
Right.
Now, when one brings that to the attention of certain people on the Christian right, then you say, hey, look, these Jewish leaders like Foxman of the ADL, the people at Hadassah and so forth that you lionize, are the same people that have these alliances with Planned Parenthood, the pornography industry, the Human Rights Campaign Fund, and all of these other things that you traditionally go before your own constituencies and say, you know, oh my land, these folks are taking over America, they've made a cultural cesspool of the place, we've got to reclaim our land from such evildoers. And yet when you say, hey, look at the coalition and look at the direct links between these so-called evildoers and heavily financed and organized and very visible Jewish coalitions and constituencies in the United States, they don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Why is that?
Well, the reason they don't is because the simple answer is money. The simple answer is money, and that this is not religion. Just like we had people call themselves Muslims and claim to have some kind of Islamic ideology that would cause them to do all kind of horrible and heinous things in the world, we have the same thing among Christians and among Jews. These people take on these titles because it lends to them some type of authority that strengthens or amplifies their voices in society, and that gives legitimacy even to the most ridiculous, you know, things that they say and that they do. How do you have a Christian movement that is supporting, okay, we say, oh, you know, we're against all of these immoral things. Well, then how can you be a Christian and claim to be walking in the path of Jesus, but you can support a government that is murdering and slaughtering people like animals simply because they want their land? Is that Christian? So, I mean, the contradictions are so blatant that there's no other explanation except that it's money. And then also when we understand that Jack Abramoff, the lobbyist now, who has been convicted of bribing lots of Congress people, it came out in the news very clearly that he had also, this guy Ralph Reed, who was the head of this conservative Christian movement, the Christian Coalition, that he also was getting money from Jack Abramoff. Of course, you know, the people in the Jewish organizations, they were getting money from Jack Abramoff. We even had Muslims. They said that Jack Abramoff money had found its way to people, they weren't part of this Christian right, but were part of the conservative coalition that were funding so-called Islamic groups that were also pushing pretty much the same line. So the irony is that it's not just Christian Zionism or Christianity that has been exploited. They've exploited all of the religions, and anything that could claim any kind of authority in society, they have found their way, you know, to put money in it, to corrupt it, and to use it to their own ideological purposes. So, it, like you said, it goes far beyond just the political establishment into our educational, into academia, into law enforcement. You know, just about anywhere that you look, you find the same contamination and the same pollution. It's obvious these people are even a minority of Christians in the United States, yet they claim that these people elect presidents, which was the media's contribution, because anybody who adds up the numbers knows that the Christian coalition could not elect a president, not even as a swing vote. They don't have enough votes. But they were given that honor because it made the Republicans, you know, owe them something. It gave them political capital to use. So the way that they have set this whole thing up, when you look at it, is kind of ingenious, but it's also pretty sinister. Also, how in the world would you be promoting a state for a group of people who claim that they killed Jesus and then called his mother a whore? So that also is one of the ironies, that they claim that it is so much a part of their Christian faith that they support the establishment and the support of the Jewish state, you know, for these chosen people. But at the same time, these are the same people who just last year attacked a young Swedish girl and, you know, broke the bones in her face and her collarbone and told her, we killed Jesus and we'll kill you too. So there are so many contradictions, so many things that have been said that make it so very clear that none of this has anything to do with what Jesus taught. None of this has anything to do with the Bible. The only explanation is that it has an awful lot to do with money.
Yeah, and there are a couple of things that come to mind. You mentioned Ralph Reed. Quite some time ago, I wrote an article, which one can find on the Internet, and it's on my website as well, related to Ralph Reed and Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein of the International, the International Association of Christians and Jews, I think is the name of the organization. Mm-hmm. And I had met Eckstein some years ago in Seattle at an ADL-sponsored event where I was the only Christian clergyman invited to this thing. Subsequently had some suspicions as to why that might be, and never had anything to do with it again. But suffice it to say that in terms of Ralph Reed, I remember in 1996 when I was a delegate to the Texas State Republican Convention that year here in San Antonio, that I had come across a story in the New York Times that had a very interesting take on Ralph Reed and the fact that early on he was supporting and getting the members of his coalition to support Bob Dole's effort for the Republican nomination, mm-hmm. when it was clear to any reasonable observer that on the issues, these people should have been with Pat Buchanan and not with
right.
Bob Dole.
Right.
So I wrote Ralph Reed a very lengthy letter, which I still have a copy of somewhere. Reed never responded to that letter, but in it I outlined probably 10 different things that I found incredulous in the background and voting record of Bob Dole as being something that people on the so-called Christian right would support. Well, of course, all these years later, of course, we're reading about Reed and reading about all of these consulting contracts that he had gotten in the last 10 years as a result, I'm sure, of the work he did for the Republican establishment in ensuring, among other things, Bob Dole's nomination that year. And as you point out now, Jack Abramoff, who quite clearly has a direct link to the Zionist lobby in the United States, is in turn linked to Ralph Reed. And is, if I'm remembering this correctly, the name of Reed's group, his consulting group in Georgia, is Creative Consulting Incorporated. I believe that that's the name of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that literally millions of dollars, not thousands of dollars, but millions of dollars accrued to Reed's consulting firm as a result of these links to Jack Abramoff, which, among other things, involved Indian gambling money and so mm-hmm. forth and so on. But as you look at all of this, I think Reed presents an interesting test case for understanding how the Israeli lobby works and the way in which, with a handful of people in the right, or as one may put it, the wrong places, they can have a disproportionate influence and have had a disproportionate influence in the homes of thousands upon millions of unsuspecting Americans who, at least up until recent times, with the exposés on Reed that came out when he was running for lieutenant governor of Georgia, with the exception of all of that, I would imagine that up until that point, the average Protestant evangelical Christian in the United States who is at all aware of anything politically would have said, oh, Ralph Reed, I mean, there's a godly man who can be trusted, and he's standing up for our rights in Washington, D.C. against all of these liberals and so forth. Yeah. And yet quite clearly, as one looks into this, one sees how the co-optation process actually occurs.
Right, and it's very sad when you think about it.
Very sad and very depressing and very ominous. When we come back, I want to discuss the situation with Muslims in the United States and how that could potentially be threatened by what seems to be coming around the corner in our situation with Iran. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Anissa El-Fatah, the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. And as we look at this whole situation, I wanted to stop long enough to encourage you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do so at rbnlive.com. or by calling the office at 1-800-724-2719. You can also have new RBN t-shirts directly from rbnlive.com or notyranny.com, or by giving us a call once again at 1-800-724-2719. Through those same contact points, you can have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. That can be yours directly from the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us again at rbnlive.com or at 1-800-724-2719. The call-in number today is 1-800-313-9443. If you have any questions of Anissa or of me, you can certainly avail yourself of that number. That's 1-800-313-9443. Anissa, I was getting ready to say before the break that when I look at the present situation, I think of, for example, a circumstance that is well known that occurred in this country during World War II, which was before I was born, and it involved the incarceration of Japanese Americans at the hands of the Roosevelt administration in the wake of the Pearl Harbor attack. Realistically, whether we're talking about Muslim Americans or we're talking about people on the, let's say, the American nationalist right or the anti-war American left that is not with Israel and what they're doing, are all of the people in these constituencies skating on thin ice, in your view, in terms of potentially having their constitutional rights denied to them in the event of an expansion of this war in the Middle East? I mean, I'm looking at this whole thing. If we go to war with Iran, for example, which it looks to me as if that's going to happen, I lived in that country years ago when my parents were stationed there, so I have a lot of emotional ties to Iran. If the United States goes through with this preemptive attack, and Dr. Michael Chosadovsky of globalresearch.ca, and he's an economics professor at the University of Ottawa in Canada, was on this show yesterday talking about the fact that we are speaking about the very real potential for even the utilization of tactical nuclear weapons in this thing. If this thing goes that far, can you foresee a scenario where those who are not on board with the present direction of American foreign policy are going to be herded like cattle into camps, or is this just paranoia?
Well, I think maybe it's a little bit of both, and let me tell you why I say that. What was very unique about what happened to the Japanese people, and I'm not saying this as a racist, I'm saying this just as an observation, is that you could clearly determine who was an Asian. I mean, you could look and say, these people are Asian, these people are probably Japanese, and that probably facilitated the rounding up and internment of the Japanese people, is that they were clearly able to identify who they are. And that may have, in some respects, even been in our favor, because it prevented people who were not from that of that particular distinction from being coupled with them and having to suffer what was an unjust situation. When we talk about political and religious, it is not so easy to determine who is and who is not. But that whole fear of that whole thing is even more dangerous, because what it does then is it silences Americans. It literally obliterates our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, because suddenly, because people don't want to be a part of these groups that, you know, are threatened by internment or some type of political oppression or repressed suffering that as a result of an attack on Iran or Syria or anywhere else in the Middle East, then people will simply yield their right to have, to choose their religion, to have a religion, the right to speak out, the right to petition their government. They'll surrender all of those rights because they won't want to be among those groups of people who are threatened by the possibility of suffering some type of political repression. So for me, that is the greater threat, because I just don't see reasonably how they would be able to necessarily identify who all of those people would be. Now, if they were going to say, well, we would take the leadership and that would be enough to scare, you know, the hell out of everybody else and make them be quiet, that might be a possibility. But I think that in respect to what we saw during World War II with the internment of the Japanese people, that's something that's pretty difficult, in my opinion, to carry out in respect to religion and politics. That was really kind of, even though we know that it was, you know, political, that it was also very racist, because I think that there were also people, and I have heard stories of people who were not Japanese, but because they looked Asian, they were also kind of collected with that group and suffered some of the same type of stigmatism, and even some of them were, you know, interred in the camps. So I just think it's more, would be more difficult to do from a political and a religious perspective.
When we come back, I want to take this line of question a little bit further with Anissa Abdel Fattah, the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Mark Dankos America will return to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Anissa Abdel Fattah, the founder of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Anissa, we were talking about all kinds of things before the break. Do you think, for example, in terms of fault lines in the American political scene, that the Israeli lobby is concerned about not simply the Muslim American community in this country, but the fact that when it comes to the non-Zionist or anti-Zionist American right on the one hand, and that portion of the American political left that is both anti-neocon and anti-Zionist, that the Israeli lobby sees the potential for a much wider bridge being built between the Muslim American community and those two political constituencies that has to be broken up at all costs?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that is the motivation for lots of the very harsh anti-Muslim and anti-Arab rhetoric that they have interjected into the American political discourse, where they have suggested that everyone that is Muslim or everyone that is Arab is either a terrorist or a potential terrorist. This was the propagandists, Zionist propagandists in this country, people like Stephen Emerson, Daniel Pipes, Judith Miller. There's a whole list of them. If you read their articles, their op-eds, if you listen to them on the cable on TV shows that they frequent, this is always their supposition. This is always their message to the American people, that this group of people is off limits to anyone who considers themselves a real American, a real Christian. You know, you have to hate this particular group of people, which is a very interesting tactic, because it's the exact same tactic that was employed against the Jews that led up to the Holocaust. If you look at the Oklahoma City bombing, the first connection they tried to make is they tried to say, oh, this was the Aryan nation or the white nationalists in conjunction with the Muslims. They thought that they would kill two birds with one stone with that one, but as it turned out, there was no evidence supporting any collaboration, because there was none. So for sure, you know, we see even in the timing of some of these documentaries and things, the way that, you know, they are timed to air, things that will point to you know, kind of shake up the African-American community and stir up hatred between whites and blacks in this country. And then following that, you'll have something within a couple of days that will turn everybody else against the Muslims. So it's very obvious that they feel threatened by any type of alliance that would bring collectively people together who share a common political perspective, regardless of what their race or religion would be necessarily, that they would be anti-Zionist. This is probably their greatest fear in the United States, which is why they keep the United States divided along these racial you know, and religious fault lines. That the Christians, you know, even when you look sometimes at the Christian discourse, you see that they'll have the evangelicals arguing that the Catholics are not really Christians, and you wonder, well, how did this discussion come up? And then you follow, you know, the origins of that discussion, and you go back to some little group that's funded by some other little group that has an interest in Zionism. We have the same thing among Muslims. There were a group of Muslims who visited the Holocaust Museum after they had the Holocaust conference in Iran and made some kind of ridiculous statement as though Muslims had some apology to give about the Holocaust. But again, they're showing fealty to the political orthodoxy here in the United States to say, well, we're the good Muslims, so, you know, don't include us among that group of bad Muslims that you continue to bash and stigmatize and round up and detain and deny and violate their civil rights. So for sure, that is, you know, that's what you see. And because that's what we see, that's probably what it is.
Yes, and as I look at this whole situation, I guess what I fear the most personally, and I'm not alone in this regard, is the fact that when we look at what is going on in this ping-pong situation with Iran, the parallels with what preceded March of 2003 and the American invasion of Iraq are just absolutely striking.
Yeah.
I find myself wondering what type of false flag incident might be awaiting us that will be utilized to pump up American political support for what quite clearly seems to be coming. And part of that process, it seems to me, will of necessity involve the demonization of those across the American political spectrum, left to right,
yeah,
Muslim and non-Muslim, who simply have figured out what is going on,
yeah,
and don't like what's going on. Bob, yeah, in Texas, you're on the line for Anissa Abdel Fattah. Go ahead, Bob.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Anissa.
Hi.
Good morning.
You know, Mark, there's a book that I want to recommend. It's on the internet, and it's called The Controversy of Zionists, written by Douglas Reed. In there,
how does Reed spell his last name, Bob?
R-E-E-D.
Okay, very good.
And in that book, he points to some of the contents of the protocols of the Elders of Zion, but more importantly, he points all the way back to Babylon. He shows the whole history of this thing, and, you know, earlier, Anissa was speaking of the concentration camps and how it could be partially paranoia and partially reality. And the truth of the matter is, when you begin to understand the people on the other end of this conspiracy, there's a certain tendency towards vengeance that is never forgotten, and it is deep. And the ability for these people to be cruel is beyond normal people's ability to comprehend it. But I wanted to read this one little part from this book that I think is relevant today. And it's discussing the presidents of future countries. This is written in the protocols, which, you know, is before 1900. This is early 20th century. And it says, independently of this, we shall invest the president with the right of declaring a state of war. We shall justify this last right on the ground that the president, as chief of the whole army of the country, must have it at his disposal in case of need. It is easy to understand that in these conditions the key of the shrine will lie in our hands, and that no one outside ourselves will any longer direct the force of legislation. The president will, at our discretion, interpret the sense of such of the existing laws as admit of various interpretation. He will further annul them when we indicate to him the necessity to do so. Besides this, he will have the right to propose temporary laws and even new departures in the government constitutional working, the pretext both for the one and the other being the requirements for the supreme welfare of the state. By such measures, we shall obtain the power of destroying little by little, step by step, all that at the outset when we enter on our rights, we are compelled to introduce into the constitutions of states to prepare for the transition to an imperceptible abolition of every kind of constitution, and then the time has come to turn every government into our despotism. Now, if we're not seeing that exact thing happening today, we have puppet presidents that are told what to do, that think they can change the laws, take away free speech, invade your house without a warrant, it's ridiculous. And any person on this planet that has any sense of a duty to truth, whether they're Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever, needs to read this book and realize that there is a consortium on this planet that have devised and implemented an incremental program that at this point is about ready to shut our country down and turn us into a despotism. And we are the last point of resistance.
Well, listening to what you read, I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore that it draws lots of parallels with what's going on, particularly these references to the president as commander-in-chief and, you know, them eliminating the habeas corpus and the attack on the Bill of Rights. It's just very hard to ignore those things. I know that the Protocols of Zion have been discredited by so many people and called a forgery. But we've never really had anyone come forward and say, and we denounce the principles and everything that it intends and everything that it says. No one has ever said that this is not a workable strategy and not a strategy that someone could adopt and carry out. So,
well, at this late date, Anissa, I think it would be hard for anyone to discredit the information contained in the protocols. They they might have a difficult time determining exactly who wrote them, or they may be able to argue that. But the first time I read these things, I read them about 25 years ago and didn't really get it. And then I kept reading them and kept reading them, and the more I read them, every time I read them again, it made my stomach turn to look at the uncanny knowledge that these people have towards the masses, that they can turn them, twist them, guide them, and they call us the mob, the alcohol-soaked beasts, and we are being treated that way, and we're being led. You know, you were talking earlier about the OKC bombing. Now, I don't think that there was an Arab state involved in that, but if it, you look back to John Doe 1, 2, and 3, they were described as Middle Eastern, and I believe, personally, that old man Bush, first of all, I think he's a Jew, and secondly, I believe that he, when he went into the CIA, developed a rogue element within that agency that included some Arabs. Now, they are rogues. They're not attached to anyone other than people they work for, which are probably international bankers. But the bottom line is, if you look at the Kennedy assassination and how the tramps were able to just walk out of that area, and most people believe that they were involved. They weren't really tramps. They had manicured fingernails and good haircuts and all this other stuff. They disappeared, just like John Doe 1, 2, and 3 disappeared at OKC. And they had all points bulletins out in this country for these three individuals, and then later they admitted that they arrested six Arabs and released them. Mm-hmm. And one that was later determined to have a number of things in his luggage that they found in Italy that would have indicated he was part of that program. But I think that Bush and his CIA connections, and they are wide, mm-hmm. that he has been involved in OKC, WTC, and Kennedy, all of it. He is the guiding hand here in this country. And, you know, he was interviewed at one point in time. I'm trying to remember the gal's name. But his words to her were, if the American people ever discover what the Bush family has done, they'll chase us down the street and lynch us.
Wow.
Her name was, I can't remember, I'm sorry. Anyway, I just wanted to recommend to everybody that has a true interest in understanding the history of this thing to read this book, because it is filled with information. You know, here's the thing. We have Christian people that are, without the Christian people of this country supporting Bush and this war, it wouldn't happen. And their Bible tells them who these Ashkenazi are. It tells them who are the Israelites and these people that call themselves Jews. I heard you earlier use the word so-called Jews. I use that term too, because they are not religious Jews, never have been, and most of them never had stepped foot, nor had their ancestors.
The book of Revelation said that the people who would be claiming most to be Jews in the last days would not be Jews, that they would be from the synagogue of Satan.
Well, you know,
I think it's interesting that when Hagee and all these people are preaching about Israel, that they forget completely the entire book of Revelation and the whole arrangement and identification of who the various players would be in those last times and what role they would be playing.
Well, so, and that warning is quite clearly there in what is said by Jesus and reported by John at the behest of Jesus in reference to this synagogue of Satan thing, both to the church at Smyrna and the one in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, let me get out of your hair, Mark. I appreciate your program. One of the very brightest lights of truth on the air, period. And these things need to be discussed without any fear of retaliation from anybody. We have the right to free speech, and if we ever give that up, it's over.
Right.
And, Bob, before you go, that again is Douglas Reed, R-E-E-D.
Yes, sir. It's The Controversy of Zion. You can Google The Controversy of Zion, and it comes up. It's the first thing.
Okay, very good, sir.
Have a good day.
Yes.
Thank you. You too.
Richard in Alabama, you're on the line for Anissa Abdel Fattah. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi.
Hi.
Wanted to give you my spin on the Protocols of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it sounds like a set of promises, a covenant between the worshipers of the Talmud and the intelligence agencies of any government that wishes to retain them as auxiliaries,
mm-hmm.
a promise that we will promote your most totalitarian ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
We will, if you put us in charge of your television and your motion pictures and your banks, we will promote totalitarian ambitions of your intelligence agencies and save you the embarrassment. You will always keep your hands clean. We will get the dirt on us, and in return, you will support us with pyramid loans so we can dominate the media and the, you know, the motion pictures.
Well, that's interesting. You have an advantage over me because you've obviously read the Protocols of Zion, and you've given it a lot of thought, whereas I haven't. But allow me to say this, is that we don't really need the Protocols of Zion to explain to us what's taking place before our very eyes and in our society. Now, if you want to say, like most people do who have read them, that they see the parallels with the things that are happening in our country, and they use that kind of as a comparative to say, well, you know, here's where this is originating and this is who we can kind of say is doing this, that's your right to do that. I think clearly, though, what is needed in our society right now is for people to be able to see outside of any discussion or conversation about, you know, things that are esoteric, meaning that only a few people are able to really understand them, is that we need a broad understanding and a plain and a simple and a common understanding, something that people like myself can grasp and say, okay, I understand. Now what do I do? None of this is going to stop unless we can get the American people to come to the point where they are willing to say, yes, we must stop this. Regardless of what it takes, we must stop this. That if we want to live as American people and preserve our way of life, our traditions, our constitution, then we have to come together and we have to stop it. Now, for you, you find your definition and your validation through the protocols of Zion. That's fine. But understand that a lot of us are not sophisticated enough to read it, to understand it, or even to make the comparisons or the relationships between anything that are going on right now. So I don't want to discount your theory because I'm not qualified. But I just want to suggest for those people who are very interested in stimulating some kind of awareness and activism that we be careful to create a dialogue or a discourse that is empowering even to the least intelligent of us and those who are not inclined toward that kind of reading.
We'll be back with Anissa Abdel Fattah. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can give us a call today at 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Anisa Abdel Fattah, the founder and director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Anisa, you need to depart around 9 a.m., correct?
Yeah.
So, yes. And so that just gives us a handful of minutes. Are there specific things that you would wish to share with us about contact information when it comes to your organization and any websites or articles that you would recommend to us?
Well, unfortunately, we are kind of in disrepair in respect to our website. But if anyone wants to contact us, you can contact us at N like Nancy, A, M like Mike, AW01@yahoo.com. We're always interested in hearing anyone's views. We are looking for lots of support. We don't know, really, we are not able to anticipate how the Department of Justice is going to respond to our complaint. It is a 5-page complaint with 100 pages of supporting documentation. And basically what we're asking the Department of Justice to do is to investigate these organizations to determine whether or not, in fact, they are killing the civil rights and the civil liberties of other Americans, particularly their rights to free speech, to political organization, association, and expression. And I'm sure that that resonates with lots of Americans who have also been deprived of those rights. We are also trying to work very hard to create kind of a cultural response to this whole phenomenon, where people will stop being so tolerant of allowing other Americans to be called things like anti-Semite and terrorist, or, you know, suspected or potential terrorist, when there's nothing to support that. A person should not have to prove that they are not any of these things that, you know, they have been called. The person who is using them has to use these kinds of terms responsibly, because they literally destroy lives. I wish I had more time so that I could tell you how devastating this language has been on the Muslim community. We have so many Muslim people now who are languishing in prison under charges for crimes, unbelievable, people getting life sentences for things like writing political letters, condemning foreign governments, all kinds of things. And the treatment that these people are receiving in prison is unbelievable. And I'll give you one example that I think is probably the worst case scenario. We had a gentleman who, from Palestine, who, when he was in Palestine as a teenager, had joined a Palestinian resistance organization. And this was prior to President Clinton's executive order designating all resistance in Palestine as terrorism. When he completed his immigration application to come to the United States, it asked him if he had ever been part of any criminal organization. Well, of course, he put no, because at that time this organization was not a criminal organization. Well, several years ago, they went and looked at this man's immigration application and decided that he had lied, because now this organization is considered a terrorist organization. They imprisoned him here in the United States, held him in detainment, and now they have deported him, not to the Palestinian Authority. They turned him over to Shin Bet and the Israeli government to be tortured. So these are the kind of things that people should be aware of and should be alarmed at, because it's Muslims and Arabs now, but if you allow them to succeed with this campaign against Muslims and Arabs, we don't know who it'll be next.
Anisa, thank you very much. When I come back from the commercial break, I will state your organizational name and contact information again. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks to Anisa Abdel Fattah for being on for 2 hours this morning. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's